Howdy do, buggaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 11th of February, 2022. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, as usual, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here. As always, we finally made it through the week.
Once again. And today, to mix it up a little bit, also with us, we have... How do we put it? Also appearing, I guess we would say, John Keat. Hi, John.
Hey, Kelly. Hey, Andrew.
I am so glad you're here. John is here to talk to us about something a little interesting later. But first, we have the usual security news. So real quick, there's been some updates out to iOS, watchOS, macOS. I think tvOS is in there somewhere, and I probably missed one. So if you have things that Apple makes, there's probably an update for them, and you should go do it, because they all have security updates that are part of that. So make sure you get them done. That's it for that one. That's really all I need to explain to everybody on that. If you've been listening to the show, you know why you need to do that. Now, Andrew, you have a quick note for us on bug bounty program, which is always great. We always like talking about those. That's good news.
Yeah.
I don't know how we'd pair this one with this. Seems like, I don't know, like a shot, maybe a margarita.
Margaritas are fun, because this is good news.
Yeah. Something light and fun for some good news. So tell us about the updated bug bounty program.
Yes. So ExpressVPN has had a bug bounty program for a while now. The good news is that they are increasing their reward for security researchers. They say this is 10 times higher than their previous top reward, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So the reward has increased to $100,000.
Dang.
And yeah, so they want researchers to actually try to find bugs in their servers. They say... The reward will be given out to researchers who can find and demonstrate a critical security bug on ExpressVPN's in-house technology.
Nice. I like it. So if you are one of those people, guess what? They're ready to hand you $100,000 now instead of just the 10. So get after it. In additional, this seems like kind of good news, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. So just make that, you know, the supersize margarita. you also have some news about security in Instagram.
Yes. So also this week, Instagram announced that this feature they have had called Security Checkup is now rolling out to users worldwide. Now, they say this, like... The language that they used was, this may be used if you think your account may have been hacked, but I think it's just a good thing to go through anyway, because it guides people through the steps to secure their account better, like checking your login activity, reviewing your profile information, maybe adding two-factor authentication. So those are all good things, even if you don't think you have been hacked.
Yeah, it's just always good to have that stuff. As a general rule, you know, we talk about it here. The other thing I would point out to kind of tack onto that as far as like security review is, remember that Instagram is owned by Facebook, and Facebook has similar features where you can go in and see like all of the places where you have used sign in with Facebook as a thing, and you can, you know, and if you don't recognize them, maybe go in and clean some of those up if they're looking stale, or it shows the last time you used it was 2 years ago or something. Leaving those unattended is a really good way to let somebody who shouldn't have access to your account have access to your account. So it's kind of nice not to do that. Now, Andrew, I'd like for you to give us an overview of the NDA, the reason we're talking about NDAs today.
Yes, this is our main, I'm not sure what drink is paired with this. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm feeling kind of the scotch of your choosing, I think. probably neat. And just sit and sip and ponder while we talk about this one.
Yep. So I'll try to break it down. I'm going to go a little bit back and start with Since last year, there is this worker movement associated with Apple. Mm-hmm. They call it Apple II, hashtag Apple II, if you've seen that on Twitter. Former employees of Apple have started it to try to talk publicly about bad things that they experience in the workplace, like discrimination, maybe harassment, other forms of abuse. People like Cher Scarlett and Ashley Gojovic. So that's been going on. The news that I shared was this week, a group of lawmakers sent a letter to the SEC wanting them to kind of look into this a little bit more. Okay. So what Apple is being accused of is using NDAs to silence this type of public workplace harassment and discrimination, which is not what NDAs were designed for. Like, that's not good. That's illegal. And so there is a law that was passed in California. I think it may have been last year, too, or within the past couple of years. It's called the Silence No More Act, which is, it was started because of similar workplace issues in other companies. Mm-hmm. So I think the main focus of the letter is these legislators, these state treasurers, they want the SEC to maybe try to apply these rules which ban NDAs in the usage of silencing these workers to have those protections for all workers in the U.S. rather than just in California.
Okay. So, John, this is where you come in. And that is, first of all, can you give us sort of a lightweight definition of what's an NDA? Like, we hear about them all the time. So what's like the practical definition?
At the highest, I guess most blunt level, an NDA, what it stands for is a non-disclosure agreement. And there's at least 8 or 9 different types of agreement that people just blanket call NDAs and non-disclosure agreements. And if you're taking the more negative slant because you have some motive and bias for that, they'll be called concealment clauses. But employment agreements, straight non-disclosure agreements, non-compete agreements, non-disparagement agreements, non-solicitation agreements, compliance, disclosure, and pre-existing right and obligation agreements, mediation agreements, and exit and post-employment agreements all are kind of mushed together and often have these non-disclosure terms in them. So that's what they generally deal with. And Andrew, just to, you did a really great job. I think you did the best job of all the press I've seen of all the articles, because most of the press were outright halters on this issue. Halter being telling the truth but lying. It's kind of like saying, "I've never killed no one," said the murderer, right? It's technically a true statement, but totally misleading, right?
Yeah.
And one slight correction, it's not illegal to have clauses in NDA to say that you can't preventing people speaking from discrimination, and even illegal acts. Now, California has passed a law that makes that illegal. They first passed the Silence No More Act in 2016 or so. And the current law that we're talking about and that everyone's kind of got their cackles on was just put into effect in January of 2022. So it's it's really brand new. And the original 2016 act prevented some forms of discrimination from being subject to a non-disclosure agreement, meaning if you sign one of these, you should still be able to talk about the discrimination that you suffered and other illegal acts. But this really, the law that was passed was SB 33, was really expanded that. So now it prevents from race, religion, physical or mental disabilities, medical mm-hmm. conditions, genetic information, marital status, sex, gender, age discrimination, military status, political viewpoints, and it's just way more expanded. So anything that the gist of what it's trying to do is to say, look, NDA agreements are cool. They're absolutely necessary. If NDAs were banned in California, the entire tech industry would run away. Like,
it would all collapse. Day after. Yeah.
Apple can't have a business, right? Like, you right. know,
among others, Apple's one of yeah. many that wouldn't be able to do that. Yeah.
Right. And generally speaking, they're there for a very good reason. They're there for preventing like trade secrets and intellectual property that's really valuable to companies from you know, just being leaked out and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And also from embarrassing things that the company doesn't want to do that are legitimately, yeah. you know, kept quiet and stuff. But it's not meant to be a shield for illegality. Right.
And that's where we're like, that's where we're at is like, that's kind of like, that's at least the accusation here, which is the part I want to talk to you about. But first, I need to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is Hunter Douglas. Who doesn't love to live well, to be perfectly at ease, in comfort, and in style? Hunter Douglas can help you do just that with their innovative window shade designs, gorgeous fabrics, and control systems so advanced, they can be scheduled to automatically adjust throughout the day. With Hunter Douglas, you can enjoy the view outside the window while protecting your privacy inside. And when you add that to the superior insulation the shades provide, not only do you have the view and the privacy, but you can be warmer in winter and cooler in summer, which can help lower your utility bills. Hunter Douglas's PowerView technology can take all of that and have your shades take care of all of it for you. Live beautifully with Hunter Douglas and enjoy greater convenience, enhanced style, and increased comfort in your home throughout the day. Visit hunterdouglas.com/TDO today for your free style get smarter design guide with fresh takes, creative ideas, and smart solutions for dressing your windows. That's hunterdouglas.com/TDO for your free design guide. I'd like to thank Hunter Douglas for sponsoring the show this week. So, John, when we talk about like the thing that we're seeing in this case is I think the phrase I've seen used the most often is weaponized NDAs. So the kind of accusations that you're talking about are that the law was passed to prevent are the kind of things that people have tried to use NDAs for in the past. Like, you can't talk about if you've been harassed, you can't talk about if you've been discriminated against because you signed this NDA. And that's not how it's supposed to work. Like you said, the tech industry would flee the state in mass exodus. It'd be, you know, the opposite of the gold rush if that were to happen, if they were eliminated, because there are a lot of reasons. Basically, what a non-disclosure is for is to keep people from talking about or actively sharing stuff that is considered sort of intellectual property and things that should be private and internal only to a particular company or whatever, and put some parameters around the kinds of things that need to be kept to themselves.
So I think fair-minded folks will disagree with that statement in that that's what California believes, right? And that's what California right. passed, and that's fair. And the laws are very different in many of the other states. Yeah. And they a lot of companies will say, no, we want it to prevent, you know, discussion of our discrimination problems or our ageist yeah. problems or whatever these other things. They feel that they're embarrassing and they should, they're the business of the business, and they should be quiet. Now, the non-disclosure agreements are not just only for intellectual property, but they're also for just kind of business terms. And what the law still will allow for things to stay private, and you'll see why. It doesn't just apply to a business, it applies to individuals too. They don't want this information to be public. Things mm-hmm. like, hey, we made a deal. I don't want the world to know how much we paid for this deal or for this settlement or on terms, and they seal those things. So what it still doesn't prevent is even if an individual settles with a company for discrimination, mm-hmm. While they may themselves want the terms of that settlement to be sealed. They don't want the world to know how much money they were paid for that. And the law still allows for those terms, even in a discrimination situation, to remain non-disclosed if the parties wish. But it still gives the person that was really aggrieved and discriminated against the ability to say this is wrong, and I think the world should know it because it's an outright illegal activity in the case of California. And actually, I think almost every other state as well. So when people are speaking about weaponizing, first, I have a problem with the reporting on this. It's completely just pure palter. And again, Andrew's the only one that did a good job on being really accurate in the way he reported on this. Other headlines were like, Apple used NDAs against workers to straight out lie, claims a report. First, it wasn't a report. It was an individual that was put in a report. So while technically true, the report did have the assertion of the individual. That made it sound like, oh, the government said this or, you know.
Right.
The whole thing is just, you know, one person's statement, and that person may be right. But where this is getting to, all the SEC involvement and whatnot, the gist of it, which again, no one reported on accurately, was this. The law changed as of January 2022. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, from that day forward, any NDAs that Apple has should not have terms that prevent people from speaking about discriminations that they suffered. Odds are, I don't know, I don't work for Apple, I don't have any inside information. Odds are, they're pretty competent at that, and I'm sure that right around that time, they should have changed their NDAs moving forward. Now, moving backward, they can't go back and say, hey, all those agreements that you guys signed, we're just going to change them retroactively. That's not a doable thing.
Yeah.
So the dispute becomes, is Apple doing the right thing moving forward since the law changed? And are there still people subject to older terms that probably have not been adapted based on the law? And that's an interesting, you know, question. And it's very much blurred by the horrid reporting on this that's very clickbaity at best. Moving forward, if they don't change that, well, they've got problems. What happens when you don't follow the law on NDAs? There's a whole slew of problems, but at the worst case scenario is the whole NDA becomes invalid.
Right.
So, for example, people have non-competes, which are often part of an NDA, and California's basically made non-competes illegal. So, if you have terms in there, the whole agreement may die because those are not valid. And a lot of non-disclosure agreements have something called a severability clause, which is a kind of a snaky way that lawyers say, we probably know that what we're saying here is illegal, but to the extent that it is, just throw out this clause, but keep the rest of the part of the agreement intact.
Oh, okay.
And they do this regularly to push the boundary. And they'll also say, look, we know this clause is illegal. They don't say that, but that's really what they're thinking.
Yeah.
So to the extent that it can be made legal by, you know, not being so onerous, make it the maximum allowed of onerousness under the law, or otherwise get rid of this clause. So that's usually a fix in some of these documents. And that's why some of the older documents, what will happen is if someone tries to enforce them with the new law, that will come into play, and probably people will be now free to, speak their piece with regard to any discrimination or other illegal activity they encountered. And the rest of the terms, like you can't tell, you know, Apple's trade secrets to the world, should still hold. It's all about that. And I agree that I think that in many cases, companies and I guess the people that run them have weaponized these things to really put people into a bind, because a lot of folks can't, the way most of these terms work, and why, which might be weird to anyone that's kind of legally trained here to hear that when I considered, you know, mediation agreements to be part of non-disclosure agreements. Well, those are weaponized, right? This act does not deal with that. And why are they weaponized? Mediation, people say, oh, it's better than going to court and suing. Yeah, a lot of times these mediation agreements say you can't have a jury trial if this ever goes to trial. And on top of it, we never want this to go to trial. And you agree that if you lose in asserting your rights, you pay attorney's fees. Mm-hmm. So people unless they're super rich, which in which case they're probably not signing these NDAs anyway.
Because right. They're not in a position where they feel obligated in any way.
Well, they can't, because they're like, oh my gosh, if I lose, I'm going to have to pay their attorney's fees. That will be ruinous. It'll be like $1 million, right?
Yeah.
So realistically, people can't, there's still abuses in these NDAs, because there's just such disparity between the parties, between the big companies and the people that sign them. But at least this gets at least some of the most egregious cases where people are just outright being discriminated. So there's a long history of these agreements being viewed as kind of abusive, because of really it just comes from the power disparity of the entities involved. You know, not everyone has a team of lawyers that they can afford to just go and battle for righteousness on this. And what happens is these NDAs say you get a certain amount of payout when you leave the company, right? We'll give you 2 months pay. Oh, and if you don't disagree, and if you don't agree with that, we get nothing, right? And so that puts people at a real financial disadvantage as well. So still lots of problems with this. But that said, the general purpose of these things is kind of the bulk of the reason that they're used is still something that is very reasonable and actually would be so harmful to companies that they probably couldn't operate on at least on the side with the secrets and the technologies and inventions and things of that nature.
Yeah. So today's practical tip on Security Friday, and thank you, John. First of all, thank you for that explanation, and thank you for giving people the context of that, which is exactly why I wanted to have you on today. And so today's practical tip is make sure that you're reading those things, anything before you sign it, because once you sign it, legally binding, you know, is really hard to sort of back out of. So just try and make sure that you're reading those things.
I'll add something to them. I think you do want to read them, but I'll save you the read, because really what those agreements say is, we will screw you in the maximum way possible under the law in every way possible we can, and you agree to that, or we will screw you in other ways by not paying you the money that you want or whatnot, or you can't have a job. That's what they will say. What you should know is that you can, in many cases, after you read those, ask for some of those terms to be changed. And if you're dealing with a reasonable company, they probably will. Like if for non-compete agreements, while they're illegal in California, they're illegal in most other states. But you should know that if they're asking for a non-compete for, I don't know, like 3 years and a geographical location of like the world or the country, those are unreasonable. Most places have limitations that are, you know, a year or so, and, you know, a reasonable city limit or something like that. And you could probably negotiate. And if you ever ask for changes, no matter how big a company is, and the response back is, oh, our lawyers, you know, won't allow us to do that, or we can't do that, or no one's ever asked for that. Those are, well, the last one's an outright lie, I guarantee.
Those are all red flags, though.
Almost certainly. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee this notion of, you know, I have a lot of friends that are married, and they always use their spouse as an excuse for what their true opinion is. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, he won't let me do that, or she won't let me do that. When they just don't want to, you know, go to the party or whatever. It is. And it's the same thing about people's lawyers. Corporate lawyers tend to be very afraid of the people that actually run the company. And if I guarantee you, if the CEO or anyone relatively high up in the company wants a deal to go through, and the lawyer is somehow says that I don't agree with that, what will probably happen is they'll have a new lawyer very quickly. So the lawyers are not the impediment there at all. It's always the will of the people. So that's a BS excuse as well. Yeah. So dovetailing on what you said, read it. And a lot of the terms that are offensive, it's very reasonable. You should know that it's reasonable to turn back and say, hey, I'd like to have this altered a bit. And if the company is dealing with you in decently good faith, most times if, you know, you have a decent chance of them changing some of those clauses.
Yeah. So I always, whenever I look at the things that I end up signing, I always try to look at like the fallout, you know, what happens if this goes wrong, or what happens if I have some sort of grievance, like what kind of options do I have to take against the company? And, you know, like you were talking about, this never goes to a jury trial and things like that. Like I'm always kind of looking for those sorts of things to see if there's anything in there that I necessarily need to be worried about. So thank you, John, very much for being with us today. I appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
And Andrew, as always, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Indeed. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.